Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
Let's start with the contract pay when paid provision. Just to give you some background, you need to understand what it is. And it's a contract provision that exists, I would venture to say, in almost every one of the contracts you sign with a general contractor. And it shifts the risk of non-payment from them to you on one very important condition, and that is the non-payment by the owner to the contractor. In Florida, it's a valid and legal defense to payment, meaning if it's done correctly by the contractor, if you do everything right and you perform your work, but the only thing that didn't happen on the job was the owner paying the contractor may not have to pay you. So we're going to talk about some ways to deal with that contractual provision in your contract. The first thing you need to understand about a pay-when-paid provision is what is a court going to do with it when they see it when a dispute arises. And it's pretty straightforward. The court is either going to look at it and say that it is clear and unambiguous, meaning the court understands what the intent of the parties was, and as a result, it's going to say the pay when paid is enforceable. Alternatively, the court can look at the provision itself or the issues surrounding it and say, no, we don't think that there was a meeting of the minds on this issue, and therefore it is ambiguous, and they throw it out. And the important part about a court throwing out the pay when paid provision is that it means you're entitled to be paid at some point, and it's not never. So let's take a look at what an unenforceable pay when paid provision looks like. So this is from a case, and it says, under no circumstances shall the contractor be obligated to pay the subcontractor until funds have been advanced by the owner. Now, you're probably looking at that and saying, well, that looks like a pay when paid to me. I understand that if the owner doesn't pay the contractor, they're not going to pay me. Here's another one. And the words are effectively the same. It's a little more detail. Within 30 days after the completion of the work, including the work in the subcontract, written acceptance by the architect, and full payment by the owner. But courts have held in these two different cases that these provisions are unenforceable. So the question you're probably asking yourself is, well, if that's unenforceable, what is enforceable? And unlike lots of areas of the law, the courts have come up with a pretty simple test. And the underlying words, which are on the slides here, condition precedent and contingent upon, are required for the provision to be valid and enforceable. So it's effectively the same words as before, but they use the magic words either condition precedent or contingent upon, so that the payment by the owner is a condition precedent to the contractor's obligation to pay you. And when this magic language exists in your subcontract payment provisions, then you have a valid and enforceable pay when paid provision. So now that we understand what it is, the question is, how do we deal with it? So as I said, almost every contract that comes across my desk, and I'm envisioning most contracts that you are presented with, have the pay when paid provision in them. This law is going on almost 50 years old at this point, so the magic language has migrated over time into just about every contract. It's pretty rare that we see a contract that doesn't have the magic language. So the question is, as a subcontractor, how do you deal with it? The first thing I would suggest when you're reading and negotiating your contracts is to strike the provision as a whole, or at a minimum, strike the magic language. Now you're probably thinking, well, you know, My concern is that if I change a comma to a semicolon, they're going to reject me and go to the next person on the bid list. But I would tell you that your concern is probably exaggerated. I had a client come to me on Monday, and he has a dispute with a contractor. I asked him for a copy of his contract, and he was successful, and it was a multi-million dollar contract, and he was able to strike the entire pay when paid provision. I was surprised, actually, that he was able to do that, but it still happens, and the expression, you don't get what you don't ask for, is true. So I would suggest to you that in the course of negotiating the contracts, you need to make sure that you try to modify the payment terms, and again, at a minimum, maybe even striking just the magic language, because that'll give you a leg up if you have to fight about it. The next thing I would encourage you to do when you're looking at these contracts is to try to include some type of a stop work provision. This would be a corollary to the pay when paid, and let me describe the scenario for you, and you'll understand why a stop work provision is important. So if you have a pay when paid provision, that means that you're not going to get paid potentially until the owner pays the contractor. But at the same time, most contracts have a provision that says that you are obligated to keep working during the course of a dispute, even if that dispute involves the payment of money to you. So this means that you are continuing to pay your materials and labor, working on the job, and not getting paid. It would be nice to be able to stop the bleeding. So one of the ways to do that is to put into your contract the right to stop work. And again, many clients perceive that they have that right automatically, that if I'm not getting paid, I have the right to stop working. But most sophisticated contractors, and even the not so sophisticated contractors these days, have provisions in their contract that say you cannot stop working under any circumstances. You can proceed with the dispute resolution process, which may mean a mediation, a litigation, or arbitration, but even during the course of all of that, you cannot stop working. So a provision that says something like, to the extent we are not timely paid our pay requisitions, we have the right to slow or stop work without penalty. Ideally, it'd be nice to include a time period. You know, if you're not paid within 30 days, 60 days, obviously the shorter the better, but at least some point some period of time when you can say enough is enough. And while you may still have to fight about the money that you're owed, you can at least stop the bleeding.
This episode is brought to you by the Miami Construction Forum. This invitation-only group of construction professionals of all sizes and trades meets monthly for an informal lunch-and-learn session on current topics of interest, from getting paid and safety to bonding and insurance. To see the upcoming topics and request your invitation, visit miamiconstructionforum.com.
There are three other things that you can do to deal with a pay when paid provision, and that is check the language in the prime contract, see if you have a right against a payment bond, and perfect your lien rights to the extent you have them. Because these last three things have the ability to take what is a valid pay when paid provision that exists in your subcontract and give you an opportunity to still get paid even if the owner hasn't paid the contractor. So it's like an end run around the pay when paid. So let me explain each of these last three because they're pretty important. So the first is what could possibly exist in the prime contract that could invalidate your pay when paid provision. So let me describe a scenario for you. You sign a contract and are unsuccessful in modifying the pay when paid provision. But that contract also incorporates by reference, that subcontract also incorporates by reference, the prime contract, also a very standard thing to do. And in that prime contract, it says that typically at final payment, the owner is not going to pay the contractor until the contractor has paid all of his or her bills and provides evidence of that fact. The standard final payment provision in an AIA contract, as an example, includes such a provision requiring that the contractor effectively true up all of the bills prior to requesting the final payment. As you know, during the course of most jobs, the releases and the payments are trailing it, ideally just a month, right? So you submit your pay request with a conditional release now and unconditional releases from the month before. So everything is moving, the paperwork and payments are following ideally 30 days, sometimes 60, 90, and 120 days behind. But this provision that exists in most prime contracts, because the owner doesn't want to give the final payment to the contractor and be worried that someone's going to pop out of the woodwork and put a lien on the property, that's why this provision exists. When that provision exists in the prime contract and it's incorporated into your subcontract that has effectively the opposite provision, right? Because the pay when paid says that the contractor doesn't have to pay you until they've been paid by the owner, but that runs contrary to what I just said that the owner wants in their final payment provision. This issue went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court issued a pretty subcontractor-friendly ruling, and they said, when these two things clash, when these two provisions clash, the subcontractor wins and the prime contractor loses. So this means that if you can get to the end of the job and this provision exists in the prime contract, when you have this push, the pay when paid provision is invalid. We've been successful in the past at arguing this and forcing contractors to pay even before they've been paid by the owner. So it's a nice way to look at what may not be in your contract directly and overcome the pay when paid provision. Because understand, on a job that went relatively well, the primary defense that a contractor has to paying you is the fact that they haven't been paid by the owner.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forms on this and other construction topics, head over to theleanzone.com.